And then, dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, in case you're unaware, Apple has just released their newest version of the iPhone, and if we follow all the advertisements, we had better go out and buy it right this second. It doesn't matter if your phone is less than a year old, it's too old. You need a new one. You should bring it in, and there's plenty of deals so that you can get the newest and fanciest thing. Have you seen the camera? It can take some of the most clear pictures that have ever been taken. Doesn't matter if you can't tell the difference, just trust us. This is the best thing ever. And you know, that car of yours that's sitting out there in the parking lot, it's not really that nice, is it? You kind of need a new one. And especially you need a new one that can connect to your new iPhone so that you can have all the fanciest features. And it's white, but it's not really white. It's not really that color that you really wanted. Wouldn't it be nice to have a beautiful cherry red? Something that looks really hot going down the street. And you know there's a speed limit, but this car can go faster than any other car on the road. And it doesn't matter if you can't afford it. There's plenty of financing available. You can always find a deal somewhere. And you know what? You don't have to wait until church is over. You can pull your phone out right now, and you can go to things like Carvana and just buy a car right this second. You can purchase a car, and in just like less than a week, it'll show up at your house. If you couldn't tell, while I was writing this, I was watching TV, and I was getting caught up in the commercials. Because commercials have always just annoyed me. They bother me. And just this idea that you never have enough. You see these commercials about lawyers and lawsuits and other things. Like, you have to sue all of these people and all these businesses and corporations and get the money that is owed to you. And they're feeding that sense of entitlement. Or the other one that I always see is these fitness machines. There's this treadmill out there that's got this big screen on it so you can like run and it'll actually take you on a path somewhere. So you could like run around Athens, Greece, and that's so cool. And of course they use the most physically fit and beautiful person that they can possibly find. And I'm sitting there watching it going, I don't look like that. And I start to feel guilty, you know, that maybe I should spend about $8,000 on a treadmill. But then again, my wife and I both know that we wouldn't use it. It wouldn't happen. The thing is that marketing, it's a fascinating field because they know us better than we know ourselves at times, which can be a bit scary. But the reality is that they are so good at grabbing those hearts and saying, this is what you want. And we just respond to them, well, yeah, you're right, I do want that. And so they're playing with this sin that's in all inside of us. This struggle that we all think that we need more and more and more. And this isn't anything new. You remember when you were a kid and you went out for Halloween and you were getting candy? What was the goal? It wasn't to show everybody your cool costume. It was to get the most candy you could possibly get. Still the same thing today, I believe. But also, this then we are brought up in this culture that tells us that we are entitled to more, that you deserve it. You deserve better. But the reality is that we don't. If we are truly honest with ourselves, we don't deserve any of it. We deserve the death that our sin has brought onto us. We can see ourselves and we kind of get mad at ourselves because we can see how this greed corrupts us, how these riches pull us away from one another. But then we also give in and we just feed ourselves with these ideas that we need more and more and more. But as we have been discussing for the past number of weeks, what we need is a change of heart. And we know that that change of heart comes from God Himself. We see Jesus enter into our world. We celebrate in Christmas. Can you believe it's almost October? Christmas is right around the corner, where we will celebrate the entrance of our God into our world. He's here. He is fulfilling all the prophecies, but it's not just the Christmas story. More importantly for us, it's the Easter story. where Christ goes through an awful week of betrayal, of suffering, of death. But then he rises from the grave. And it is through this that we see the mercy of God. You should always think of mercy as not getting something that we deserve. We deserve the punishment. We deserve the death. But God in his mercy gives us his Son to take that for us, so that we who did not deserve it would receive life. And our God loves to give. That is the biggest, probably one of the biggest character traits of our God, is how much he loves to give. Not only does he give us his only Son, but he blesses us with his very Holy Spirit, who reaches out to us, who is the one who is actually changing our hearts, who calls us by physical gifts that we can see, like holy baptism, like the Lord's Supper, but also gifts that we can hear as we hear the Word of God, but also gifts that we experience as we live the life that God has given us, and as he is continually and daily calling us to repentance and new life and a change of heart. And as Scripture defines this, it usually describes it like fruit trees. This is the image that they seem to love. Now, if you have an apple tree and you expect to get oranges from it, you're going to be really disappointed, because that's just not how trees work. And so it's as if we have been made into new trees bearing new fruit. We hear of these from Galatians 5, where Paul lists these good fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It is these fruits that we now bear as those who have had changed hearts. And the one that I want to focus on today is that last one of self-control. That is probably the most difficult. And I had a friend of mine tell me that it's at the last of the list because it's the hardest. And I certainly agree with that. To control ourselves is so difficult, because we know the new life we have received. We know the change of heart that we have received. But yet we also know that there is still this sin inside of us that is seeking to pull us back into our old ways. And there's this voice, though, in our heads that says, stop it. Don't do it. You don't need it. You're fine. But yet there's that pull that always pulls us. And we silence that voice in our heads and we give in. But thankfully we live with a God who loves to give, and he gives us even his grace, so that when we fail, we are forgiven. As we have already gone through in confession and absolution this morning, we are forgiven. But this isn't permission for us to go on and keep on sinning, to just stuff our faces and be gluttons, to just be greedy with our money. This isn't permission. This is like getting knocked off of a horse, and God picks you back up and says, keep on going. This is a process, a learning. This is growth that we go through so that we actually know how to deal with these things that we are struggling with. And so contentment and self-control go hand in hand. You know, I use those advertisements of the iPhone and that beautiful new Toyota because I'm susceptible to those ads. I look at those advertisements and I go, man, I'd really like that. But my phone works perfectly fine. My car that I have parked in the lot is fantastic. But yet there is that little part of me that continually goes, yeah, it's great, but that one's nicer. That one's a lot cooler looking. And so what I have to do personally is I have to stop. I have to stop myself and say, and realize what I have, and to be thankful for it. I have stuff that works great. I have everything that I need. I don't need that stuff. And so in this process, we stop and realize, we have to stop and actually sometimes physically look around and be grateful for what we have, so that we can then be content. Now, I'm not saying that every purchase we make is one that's out of control or from a lack of self-control. There are things that need to be purchased and need to be fixed. If I didn't have a cell phone or a car that worked, I'd need to replace it because I need them to do my job. But yet I stop and I realize the things that I have so that I don't just let go and spend frivolously. I only noticed it this morning in the reading from 1 Timothy that the riches with that these people are dealing with cause these people to, here it is in verse 9, the desire to be rich, they fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires. And it's that senseless one that I see so often, that trap that I fall into, where after I see myself do it, I go, what was I thinking? And this is again where the role of self-control comes in to help us realize what we have to be content. But you know me, I always like to ask why. I think Nancy also asked the kids, why? What does God care? What does God care if we have the newest and greatest phone or car or house or whatever it might be? It's because those desires, that lack of contentment, reveal where our hearts lay, reveal where we trust. Where your heart is, there your treasure will be also, our Lord tells us. God wants our hearts to be set on Him and to trust in Him. And why? Well, it's because it's for His glory and for our benefit. We get some examples out of Scripture in our gospel lesson from Luke and in our Old Testament lesson from Amos, that the rich are blind. They're blind, and that they're in for quite the rude awakening. That they're mounting up all these treasures for themselves, but when that final day comes, it will do nothing for them. And then in our gospel lesson, we get that really, it's a strange tale of the rich man and Lazarus, where we see these two interacting with one another. But we see the anguish of the rich man saying, please, just send Lazarus to warn my family. To which Abraham replies, they have Moses and the prophets. If they won't listen to them, they're not going to listen to some dead guy who comes and walks up to them. Because their hearts, their minds, everything is just focused on their stuff. They are blind to what God is doing. They're blind to those who are in need. And not only that, they ignore those who are in need. God is showing so many signs. We see things like the recent hurricanes that have struck the East Coast. And people have lost everything. Those riches have done nothing to save them. It's all gone. We see that these things get us nowhere. They might get us some places in life, but in the very end of things, they get us nowhere. Because as God is constantly reminding us through Scripture, there is a day that is coming. And as we seriously look at the news and look around at our world is passing away. It's groaning in pain. A day is coming where God will come, where He will call us all before Him, where those who rest upon God's grace and mercy will be saved, and those who rest upon themselves and their riches, they'll find that it gets them nowhere. So, why does God care? Well, as we read in Scripture, God cares because God desires that everyone would be saved, that people would have life and life eternal, that people would rely on Him for all their needs because He is not only their loving Father, but the loving Father. The one who is generous, who gives everything that we need in life. And since this is His desire for us, when we struggle with this, guess what we get to do? We get to pray to Him. And we get to expect Him to answer these prayers because He wants to give. And He wants us to live self-controlled lives of contentment. And so ask God, if you're struggling with this, ask God to help you. To help you to realize all the things that you have, including all that grace and mercy that you have received. And then join with God in His life of grace and mercy, where you live this life in service to one another, but also hoping in and expecting that day where God will come and make all things new. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.